Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, hey, we are going to be in Daniel chapter 1 this morning, so Daniel's Children's Church, but we're going to be talking about a different Daniel this morning in the Bible. Daniel chapter 1, if you want to turn there. Back to school. Joyce, aren't you glad you don't have to go back to school, that those days are done? Back to school, but school impacts many of our lives, not all of our lives, but many of your lives. As a parent, or if you are a student, college, elementary, high school, middle school, even as a grandparent, it impacts your life, right? If you have grandkids, and sometimes you help out with them in the summertime. So school, going back to school, there's a lot of, it impacts our lives, just even the school schedule impacts our lives. This morning I want to talk about tips to succeeding at school. Did you know the Bible has some tips to succeeding at school? It's not cheat sheets, okay? All right? But it has some tips, and we're going to look at Daniel chapter 1 to see what Daniel has to say. I always enjoy this time of year. Creek kind of comes alive this time of year just because the Doan students begin to trickle in. So as I was out at Walmart this week, you can pick out the freshmen pretty easily at Doan because they're buying everything at Walmart, you know, and they're just getting all the necessities to stock their dorm room, and you can pick them out. And it's an exciting time of the year. It's good to have. We have a couple Doan students here, and Matthew is from Oshkosh, right? And his dad is the pastor at Oshkosh, Maynard McCarthy, and his dad and I, we served on the presbytery together many years, and a great friend, and his dad works at Cabela's as well, and so his dad always sends me a friends and family discount at Cabela's, so he's on my Christmas list there, so so it's good to have Matthew here, getting geared up for football, and others of you, so. But it's an exciting time of the year. So whether you're an elementary kid, junior high school, college, maybe you're an adult learner taking classes online, the Bible has some tips of how you can succeed in school. So I want us to look at Daniel chapter 1. Let's go there together. And it'll take me a while here, a minute for my Bible to load because it's electronic. It takes it a while to load. All right, there we are. Let's read this together. Let's pray first and then read. Father, we just thank you for your word. I pray you take your word and apply it to our hearts and our lives this morning. We just thank you. It is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, it's able to penetrate our thoughts, our behaviors, all that we do. Lord, we just pray that your word would accomplish its purpose in our lives this morning. Amen. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. So this has to do with Israel's deportation to Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand and some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Aspenaz, wow, that's a nice name, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of nobility. Okay, you catching that? So they were people that had probably had a good education. They had signs of intelligence. Okay, they did well on their ACT. Okay, all right. And so they are recruited by Nebuchadnezzar and by Babylon to come. What they're going to do is they're going to incorporate them into their government. The king commanded them to do this. So the youth without blemish, of good appearance, so they even had to be good looking. Wow. They had to be skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, competent to stand in the king's palace, okay, and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. So now they're going to go to Babylon, they're going to learn a new language, they're going to learn new customs, and they're going to learn how to serve in the king's palace and to serve in government. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate, and it included wine. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these that were chosen from Israel were Daniel, okay, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or I also know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many have seen the VeggieTales? Shadrach and Benny. Anybody seen those? All right. Our kids grew up on those, all right? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the tribe of Judah. And as of the chief of the eunuchs gave them the names, Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. There you got your names. Verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. So Daniel had some very conservative dietary issues that he was raised with. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For whom should he see that you are in worse condition than everybody else of your age? So would you endanger my head? In other words, okay, we talked about that last week, off with the head. In other words, the eunuch is saying, hey, if you guys are not being taken care of and you're in poor health under my care, it means my head, okay? Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of our youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants accordingly to what you see. So we're going to do a test, see who looks better and who's smarter at the end of the 10 days. So he listened to them in this matter, tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance, fatter in flesh than all the youths that ate the king's food. And so the steward took away their food and their wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the time, the king had commanded them that they should be brought in, and the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king, and every matter of wisdom and understanding which the king inquired of them, they were found to be 10 times better than everybody else. 10 times better. Wow. Than all the magicians, the enchanters that were in his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. If you track, read through the book of Daniel, Daniel would not only serve under one king, but under 4 kings and under 2 different empires. He would come in under the Babylonians. And so you have Nebuchadnezzar and then Belshazzar. And then he has a prophecy concerning Belshazzar that he is being weighed in the scales. And he wasn't found weighty. In other words, he was lacking in righteousness. And that very night, the Babylonian Empire was taken over by the Medes and the Persians. Darius would be the new king. And then you have Cyrus. And it's under Cyrus that the people of Israel would begin making their way back to Israel 70 years later. So what do we learn from this chapter 1 about going back to school? Daniel and his buddies went to school, didn't they? And they not only did well, they excelled, and they were 10 times smarter and better appearance than everybody else that was in the same program. How would you like to do that? Huh? Nigel? Right? Yeah. 10 times better? Mariah? Okay. All right. So what was some of the keys that allowed them to do well, to find favor before God and men? The first thing that we see is, this is really spiritual, but it is more spiritual than we sometimes maybe realize, eat for success. In America, we don't eat for success, I don't think. It becomes very evident for Daniel that he has some very definite diet convictions. Some of it was probably based on his Jewish heritage. Some of it maybe had to do with that some of the food that they were eating, like the meat, maybe had been offered to idols. And so Daniel said, you know what, I don't want that meat because it's been offered to idols. He didn't like that idea of the association. It could be that he was, in his family, that they had some very strict dietary convictions, and that he was probably maybe fruits and vegetables, all right, that they probably were raised on. And so Daniel saw this as a spiritual matter and some very held close convictions, so much so that he was willing to talk to the steward and say, hey, I can't eat this stuff. I can't eat what you guys are serving us. And so Daniel had a solution to test them for 10 days, and they were better in appearance and in smarts than the other people. Now, you may think, why do people go on the Daniel plan in our day and age? You know, that's actually a book now, and it's actually, right? Where's Sarah at, right? The Daniel plan, right? She's been helping us out, leading us, some of the ladies in that. I don't know. You have any men that are coming? Men are too skittish, aren't they? All right. The Daniel plan. So why do many people go on the Daniel plan? Lose weight, right? But that doesn't seem to be an issue with Daniel, okay? He was on that just for the other health benefits, such as just his appearance, and maybe in skin and everything else. Maybe it had to do with his waistline. But I believe it also had to do with just how he felt, intellectually, emotionally, energy-wise. There were some other benefits that came from eating the diet that he was used to. And what he was eating, he was noticing the effects of it, the negative effects. And I believe in our culture, we eat food, right, I think because we like it, right? Right? That's why we eat certain foods. We don't eat to live, we live to eat. Does that make sense? Okay? We live to eat. Man, oh, you know, this is good. And I like a good steak, and I, you know, there's certain breads, you know, caramel rolls, right? I can handle them. But they don't always look good on you after a while, okay? And they sometimes, you know, 30 minutes later, you're kind of like, ooh, why did I just do that, you know? You feel the effects of it. And so we have this titled, Eat for Success, to be strategic. And Daniel was very strategic about what he ate. He didn't just basically, hey, I want the ribeye with the glass of wine and the mashed potatoes, right? He was strategically eating because he wanted to feel well, he wanted to think well, he wanted to look good. It was all those things, and he knew that if he was going to do that, he had to be strategic about what he ate. Now, does modern medicine and science support this? It sure seems to. There's more research being done all the time. One study that was done by Bristol University, University of Bristol, I believe that's in England, they fed toddlers, you know, foods high in fat, sugars, and processed food, and then others were fed pasta, salad, and fruit. After they did this study, they found out that there was a significant boost, a measurable boost in IQ, just based upon diet alone, about what these kids eat. And what they really found out is that the most influential time period is what age group? Anybody want to guess? Where food is most important? Huh? 1 to 3. Very close, very close. 1 to 3 year old, that time span is very crucial as to what kids eat, influences their IQ. A UCLA study found that foods high in omega-3 fatty acids and folic acid really help brain function. They feel like it helps the neuroreceptors in your brain to talk to each other, and it really helps in the area of intelligence. You ever have brain fog? Really? Yeah? All the time. there are certain foods that help and some foods that hurt us. But they really felt omega-3s. So omega-3s would be your what? Foods. Cheetos. I have not found Cheetos to be high in omega-3s. I don't know. Walnuts. Okay. I have them for breakfast every morning. All right. Fish. Fish is a biggie, right? So there's a lot of foods that you can get those omega-3s, and they're good for your heart, but also good for your brain, all right? A study of 2003, so that's even a little bit going ways back in the research, but they found five foods that help your intelligence. So you got your pen ready? First of all, it's krill oil. Okay, I don't know if you're going to go out and catch your own krill in the Gulf of Mexico. You're going to probably have to take a pill. But the omega-3s is the main thing there. So probably fish, anything that has to do with omega-3s, they found significantly helped your brain function. Number two is organic raw vegetables. Hey, Daniel knew what he was doing, right? Organic raw vegetables, so the carrot sticks, right? Not only good for your eyes, but good for your brain, the broccoli, the cauliflower. You don't have to dip them in cheese. Just eat them raw, okay? But they found out that that was very good for brain health. Raw eggs. Now, I don't know how good that is for you, but raw eggs. So Rocky, you know? You remember Rocky drinking the raw eggs, you know? Raw eggs. I probably would have to blend them with somebody, make a shake or something like that. But they're saying raw eggs is one of the top five foods to help brain function, all right? As long as you don't get salmonella. So I think you can take some steps to avoid that part. Number four is actually something that you're not supposed to, something you're not supposed to eat, okay? And that is avoid what? Sugar. Avoid sugar, probably in the form of pop, in the form of candy, all right? How many of you had like 3-4 packets of sugar in your coffee this morning? None? All right, okay. Nigel, you're still with me though. Yeah, until you crash, okay? All right, but they said avoid sugar. We know that, you know, if it comes in the form of fruit, they say it's a lot better for you. And then the last one, anybody want to take a guess at the last food? It's actually a fruit. I'll give you a hint. Huh? No? Blueberries. Yes, high in antioxidants, but also very good for brain function, all right? So you take that big test, Mariah. Blueberries, all right? Okay? All right. Those are the top five foods. You know what? What we eat will make a huge impact how we feel, how we think, even how we look. And Daniel knew that, and he pushed the issue, and they had favor, and it was noticeable. Even after 10 days. Just think about that. Even after 10 days, the difference was noticeable. Now, if you go to play football at the University of Nebraska. I don't know what Doan has set up, but at UNL, they have their own cafeteria. And all the different sports programs, they have their own cafeteria. They prepare the foods, and they prepare foods that are going to help them physically so that they can be better athletes. And I thought, you know what? If we take sports that seriously, why aren't we taking academics and intelligence that? Seriously. All right? Why aren't we doing that? And eating in that same, you know, very strategically how we eat. Anyway, if you want to do well in the classroom, don't fill up on the Cheetos and the pop and the soda and gummy worms and gummy bears. Instead, eat the raw vegetables and blueberries, all right? Just saying, okay? It worked for Daniel. It'll work for you. Give it the 10-day test, all right? And then come to the Daniel Plan class, all right. Number two, how are you going to succeed in school? Stand by your convictions. You know, Daniel and his friends, just think about it. They left a very religious culture and society where there was structure, there was a fear of God, there was religious standards. Now they're going to a very secular culture where they would be forced to bend their convictions, not only their customs, but their convictions. It probably wasn't bad learning a new language, but the customs. And now they're going to be forced to do things that were outside of what they thought to be true, whether it was of their worship and how they lived their life. And we don't know where mom and dad are at. It seems that maybe either mom and dad died during the invasion, or maybe they were separated from their parents. But these four young men find themselves in Babylon pretty much by themselves. Mom and dad are out of the picture. There's no texting, email, internet. Hi, mom and dad, how you doing? They're on their own, folks. Probably a 16, 18, 21 years old is where they're probably at. They are young men. And instead of giving in to the pressure of the king and those that were putting pressure on them to bend them and shape them, they stood by their convictions. And what do I mean standing by their convictions? Well, we see in chapter 1, Daniel says, hey, I don't want to eat this food, okay? And God honors them in the process. You go to Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get promoted. They're serving under Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Things are going well until Nebuchadnezzar builds this 90-foot statue of himself and says, whenever the music plays, ta-da, okay? They were supposed to what? They were supposed to bow down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. Nebuchadnezzar didn't like that too well. He didn't just kind of give them a skip pass and say, hey, you know what? I love you guys. You know, I'll let you go on this one. Instead, he became furious. He came twice, and they refused both times to bow down. And the king was so furious, he said, I want you to crank up the furnace. We're going to execute these guys. But he was so furious, he said, I want that thing cranked up 7 times hotter than it's ever been. Sometimes it was so hot that the people that threw them into the fire were torched in the process. Okay, they lost their lives. But instead of being consumed by the fire, it says that their lives were spared, and there was a fourth person standing in the fire with them that looked like the Son of God. And not only were they not destroyed in the process, but after they come out of the furnace, the king worships God and says, if anybody says anything bad against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, I'm going to have their head, one. Secondly, they're promoted in government to a higher level. Because why? Because they stood by their convictions. Daniel in chapter 6 is promoted, but now he's under Darius, the Mede. Okay, so he's the third king that he's under. And there's people that didn't like Daniel. They didn't like him because he had convictions. He prayed to his God daily, and he wasn't corrupt like a lot of them were. And that bothered them, and they said, you know what, the only way we can get rid of Daniel is if we secretly kind of pass a law by the king that has to do with his God. And so they wrote up a legislation and said, you know what, king, you are so great. We think that anybody that bows down to anyone else or any other thing in the next 60 days, whatever it was, I can't remember the exact day, you know, they're going to be thrown in the lion's den. The king thought, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, let's do it. And they knew that Daniel, because of his convictions, would not give in. He would still pray to his God. The king passed the law, not thinking of Daniel. And when he realized what had happened and what had put in motion, he couldn't reverse it. There wasn't a means to reverse the law. And what did Daniel do? 3 times a day, he would go to his room, open up his doors to Jerusalem, and he would pray. He could have kept the doors closed, the windows closed, right? Done it in his little prayer closet so nobody saw him. But he still opened up his windows towards Jerusalem. Before long, there was a knock at the door, and they took him off to the lion's den. Thrown in the pit, hungry lions. They were hungry. Guess what? They decided to fast that night, the lions did, right? And Darius came to the pit, lion pit, the next morning. They had him move the stone away, and he says, Daniel, are you still there? And Daniel says, yes, I'm still here. My God has spared me. And they lifted him up out of the pit. And then they felt sorry for the lions, so they threw all the guys that had drafted the law to get Daniel in trouble, they threw them in the pit. And guess what? Before they could hit the ground, they were gone. They were consumed. God had protected Daniel. And Daniel then was even more promoted after that experience. Why? Because they stood for something. They stood for their convictions. They stood for what they knew to be true, what they knew to be right. You know, in the public school or in the college setting, just in life in general, there are, you're tempted to deviate from your convictions, whether it's in the area of swearing, what you say, whether it's in the area of cheating. It's just very prevalent in the school system. And it's easier than it ever has been, okay, just with electronics. That's the number one thing that the teachers have to deal with is cheating. Alcohol and drugs, that's a biggie on the college campus. It's real big. Sexual convictions. Are you going to keep yourself pure when many of the people around you are not? The temptations are there. Are you going to stand by your convictions? Or are you going to bend? And Daniel and his friends stood by their convictions. And God not only honored that, but he gave them favor with God, but it also, they gained favor with the people, with secular people that they served under. They were promoted because of their convictions. If you want to be promoted by God and by the world around you, stand up for your convictions. Stand up for what you believe. The third thing that I see that you can write there in your program is surround yourself with like-minded friends. You know, I don't know what would have happened if it had just been Daniel, if it had just been Shadrach or Meshach. But the four of them, there had to be others that were there as well, but these are the four we hear about. And we don't know what the outcome of the others were, but we know that these four kind of hung together. They were a group, and they encouraged one another spiritually and in every way. You know, I said, hey, did you make it to the gym today? Yeah. Daniel says, yep, I made it to the gym today, you know. And did you eat your fruits and vegetables today, right? Yeah. All right. But they encouraged one another. And they covered each other's back. We all need that accountability. We all need that encouragement that comes by surrounding ourselves with like-minded people. We need that within the church. We need that in the school setting. If you're out there as a lone ranger, you know, that's commendable. But God hasn't called us to live the Christian life that way. He's called us to be in that sense of community and accountability. Find people that are on the same path as you are, that have those convictions, that have good study skills, that want to grow in knowledge, that have a fear of God. Find people that are like-minded and be part of that group. Encourage one another. And there's a good chance that you all sharpen each other and become better in the process. I remember moving. I only moved once during my school years. Grew up in a small town in rural North Dakota. I don't know, they say it was 800. I didn't know, you know, it's all relative when you're, that's all you know, right? But I only had 15 kids in my class. And we moved up to Alaska in the middle of my junior year. So I'm about ready to graduate, move up there. And you know, to move in the, you know, at that point in your high school is you know, kind of just rips and tears you out. But God really used it in a very powerful way because it was just a very influential time in my life. And God uprooted us from there and put us in a good environment in a lot of ways. So I went from a school where there was 15 in my class to where there was close to 300 in my class. And I didn't have a lot of good peer. I had one friend that went to our church. But other than that, we really didn't, there wasn't any. You know, the youth group consisted of our family because all the other kids were older. We were kind of the younger kids. And there really wasn't much for a youth group in our school. And so I had one friend, and he's serving God now, but he kind of was kind of, you know, a little bit during those years. But God moved us up to Alaska. And there I was in a new place, new environment, felt, you know, I was just totally lost up there to begin with. But God began to surround us with some friends. And not all of them were, say, spiritual friends, but they were friends that didn't go out and party, okay? And they were friends that were smart, okay? And you know what? I found out that, you know, I was B average when I was in North Dakota going to school. I was B average, just B average, okay? Got a few A's, got a few C's, B average. But I got up to Alaska, and I got in with some friends that actually studied, okay? And I felt challenged. I realized I had this competitiveness in me, and it's kind of like I started taking on some of the top students, you know, and studying. I'd study hard and got into anatomy and physiology, college-level class, and guess what? I pulled out the top grade in the class. And I was going against some guys that are probably scientists now, and they're doing really well. And why? Well, because I was surrounding myself with some people that challenged me, that sharpened me, propelled me forward. And my last year, my senior year, I got straight A's. See, I was capable of it, but I had to be in an environment with other people that would challenge me to bring out the best of me. I believe that's what Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had going for them. You want keys to success? Daniel needs to bring the kids. He needs his warning to come forward. We're going to close with prayer for our students today. So we're going to bring the kids in from the back, so there might be a little bit of commotion here. But what do we learn from Daniel and his friends? Well, they succeeded in school in a difficult environment. Why? They not only excelled but they excelled. And how can we do that? We need to eat to succeed, I believe. That's what we see from Daniel. We need to stand by our convictions. And we need to surround ourselves with like-minded friends that challenge us, that sharpen us, that make us better and further us. It's important. We're almost to the last of raising three boys, taking them through the school system. And I think that last year is probably the hardest. And we got at least three of you that are in that senior age. And that's a hard year. And one of our sons says, you know what, I really wish I would have worked harder my senior year. He goes, I coasted. And it's so easy to do that. And then it catches up with you when you go into college. Then it's kind of like, man, I wish I'd applied myself. But even more so, it's the study skills that you take into college that set you up for success or for failure. You can learn those. You're going to cruise through college. But it's having those good study skills and friends, sharpening one another. Amen. So as soon as they come forward, we're going to be ready to. I'm going to have the musicians come. And he said 3 to 5 minutes. All right. Okay. We're going to sing that chorus, The Stand. And as soon as they come out, I'm going to have teachers. So if you are our school teacher in the public schools or in the college, I think Tessa's here. I'm not seeing her right now, but I think she's here. There she is. She's hiding. Tessa. She's hiding. And then all students, whether you're elementary, middle school, high school, college, I'm going to have you guys come forward. I want parents to come too. Because parents, you play a crucial role. Probably when your kid is young, you're the one that's setting the diet. You know, your five-year-old isn't saying, hey, get me the fruits and vegetables here. You're setting the diet. So you're the one that's helping to set them up for success or for failure by what they eat. And so, and you're the one that's pouring into them in those young years, helping them spiritually to succeed in school. You know, if Daniel's parents were alive when Daniel was taken away, that had to be a difficult time. We don't know if they were or not. But just think, if your kids were taken away from you at teenage years, taken off to a foreign country by a foreign government, and you never had contact with them again. Everything you had instilled into them up to that point, that's all you got. No more conversations, no more. One more thing to tell them. Whatever they had up to that point, that's what they got. And we know each day that we have is a gift from God, isn't it? Each day. There's no promises, and there's no guarantees in life. As a parent, take each day that God has given you. You can't take it for granted. All right, Daniel, you can go ahead and bring him up here. And Jill, if we maybe just have him come straight up here. Just have him come up here. Not all of them are school age yet. Some of them are getting ready. Preschool maybe, right? Have them come up here. You guys just come and stand by me, all right? All right. All right. Parents, why don't you come? Why don't we got them up here? Let's, parents, students, teachers. Why don't you all come up here? Yep. College as well. Melissa. Matthew, come and join us, man. All right. We got several teachers here. Just the role that they play. Amen. We've got a good crew up here, don't we? All right, now, the rest of you, I want you to extend your hands, okay? Extend your hands this way. Stand up where you're at. Stand up where you're at. And let's just pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for this time, dear God. And as we look at the book of Daniel, we see the situation that Daniel and his friends found them in. And they could have been crushed. They could have been brainwashed. They could have been sucked into society. And we never hear anything about them. But instead, we hear about them being promoted and them making a contribution within government, but also making a contribution spiritually to their nation and to their God. And Father, just as we have students here from young to old, Father, we just pray your hand upon them, Father, that they can excel, that they can do well in school, Father, that you can set them up for success, and that they can be a witness for you, Father. We were all too aware of the temptations and sometimes even the dangers that are there, Father, the temptations, the pressures. And so, Father, we just pray your hand upon each student here, Father, just for your favor, your blessing, your guidance, and your wisdom, Father. May they excel spiritually. May they be the top students in their class. May they find friends that challenge them, not only on the football field or the basketball court, but in the classroom, Father. And Father, I pray for parents and teachers, just that role that they play as of raising and influencing students. Father, I just pray that you would just grant them your wisdom and your favor and your blessing in the environment that they are placed in. And Father, we pray that as we begin this school year, we can begin it on a good note with your favor and your blessing. We give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. Praise God.